Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're going to be today. Today we close out our series called Together We Build. I hope it's been a ministry to your own heart the last 6 weeks. We've journeyed through the New Testament. We looked at godly men and women in the New Testament who they gave their life to something bigger than themselves. They gave their life to build the church. And we've talked about how we do that in our own lives. And it's interesting that as we've walked through the last 5 weeks now, 6 weeks today, the things that we've asked you to do, that the Word of God has called us to do, are very personal in nature. And yet when you do the very personal things within the context of the local church, it has a very collective impact. Let me just walk back through the series and what we've talked about. Week one, we talked about Barnabas and the Spirit-filled life. It's obviously a very personal thing, but it affects other people when you live a Spirit-filled life. We talked about Priscilla and Aquila and their desire to build people within the church. We talked about Peter and how he encouraged the churches in that day and how we're encouraged to live our lives submitted under the authority of God's word. We talked about Phoebe, who she was a godly woman, only mentioned in 2 verses in the entire Bible, and yet she served God faithfully behind the scenes. And then last week we talked about the 12 apostles. We talked about their focus on the Great Commission. And today we wrap that up with not talking about an individual or a group of people, but really a larger group of people. We're talking about the Macedonian churches, and today we're speaking about generosity. Now, if you have avoided church for a long time, and you're like, man, I know the second I go in there, they're gonna talk about money, so that's why I avoid church, and finally you ended up coming today on this day, I wanna congratulate you for quite the planning right there, because that's a miracle that you picked this day. Honestly, if probably a few times a year we speak to the church body about how God calls us to handle our money. And so today, I just want to let you off the hook if you're here visiting. We don't need anything from you. You just sit back, relax, enjoy the preaching of God's word today. Because it really does have some things to say to us about how we handle our money. Billy Graham once said it this way. He said, if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area in his life. Amen. And that is so true. If you get your money right, all the other stuff is kind of gravy from that point forward. Today, I want to speak to you as I would speak to a friend, okay? I would speak to you today like I would speak to a family member or even my own children who I have conversations with from time to time about this issue. And I'm going to give you a vote today, okay? I'm going to give you 2 choices on the message today. I can go either route. You ready? So I can hesitantly tiptoe around this subject today, or I can just give you the word of God straight up. So I'm going to give you, what do you want today? Straight up. Okay. That's what I was going to give you anyway, but I just thought I'd give you a little vote in the process here. I'm going to remind you that you asked for that a little bit later in the message, okay? So when it gets uncomfortable, I'm going to remind you that you asked for it straight up instead of the tiptoe version. And I often say when we deal with hard subjects in church, I say I give free hugs after church in the lobby, so let's hug it out after the service, okay? This is a fantastic passage of Scripture speaking about these churches in Macedonia. So Nick, where is Macedonia? Macedonia would have been in ancient Greece. Greece would be a good place to be right now today, would it not? Look outside, cloudy, foggy, 50s, as opposed to sunshine and blue water, right? This would have been most likely the churches at Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea. Those are the 3 that we believe he's most likely speaking to here when he speaks about the Macedonian church. Now, let me give you some context. If you don't get what I'm about to say, you won't understand the rest of the message, okay? So you got to understand this. I'm going to go elementary Christianity, okay? 1st and 2nd Corinthians are 2 different letters written by Paul to the church at Corinth. That's why it's called Corinthians. And so in the second letter, which we're reading today, 2 Corinthians, he's writing to this church about these Macedonian churches and their generosity that they are exemplifying. It would be like Paul writing to Cross Church, and he would say, hey guys, listen, Fellowship Bible over here and First Rogers and First Bentonville, they are knocking it out as it relates to generosity, and you Cross Church, you need to excel in this like they are doing. That's really what Paul's doing. Hey, Corinthian church, look at Macedonia and see how they're doing this issue, and that's how you need to do it in your own life and in your own church. Make sense to everybody? Pretty simple, okay? Let's start off where the Bible begins, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's what Paul writes. He says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Now just pause there. We're going to come back to the passage here in a second. What do we know about these people and their situation here? It says that they were in a severe test of affliction and extreme poverty. Literally, this idea could be translated in much testing of troubles. So they are walking through it. Okay. Anybody ever had a season in your life where when it rains, it pours? May ever been there? You're like, man, the business ain't right. The dog ain't right. The marriage ain't right. The kids for show, they ain't right. No, nothing's right now. You ever been there? That's where these people are. And you add to that abject poverty. Okay. They are walking through a very low season. They are struggling. No doubt. You say, well, why were they struggling? They were under Roman rule, and because of that, that just forced them into this extreme poverty. But what did they have? You say, Nick, I thought they didn't really have anything. They're in poverty. The Bible says that they actually do have something. What do they have? They have the abundance of joy. The abundance of joy. Now listen to me, church. This is a key thing I'm about to say to you. There is more to life than money. It's more to life than money. So you are not your bank account, you're not your job title, you're not the neighborhood you live in, the car you drive. Some of you are like, praise God that I'm not the car I drive, okay? Like, struggling today, and you know, you are not any of those things. You are who God says you are. Amen. You say, well, Nick, are you saying it's a sin to have nice things? I'm not saying it's a sin to have nice things, but I am asking the question, do you have your things or do your things have you? You say, well, how do I know? If it all went away tomorrow, how would you respond? How would you respond? These people in these churches have an abundance of joy. You say, well, why are they joyful? Here's why. Because their joy and their happiness is not based on what they have, but instead who they have. Amen. It's not about their possessions. It's about who they have. They have Jesus, and that is enough. Sometimes you don't know that Jesus is all you need till Jesus is all you got. You ever been there? Been in that season where, man, everything's breaking apart. The relationships aren't right. Your career's not right. Bank account just has a lot of zeros and not in a good way. And you're thinking to yourself, man, I just don't know how I'm going to make it forward. And it's in that depth of despair that Jesus Christ met you in a different and a unique way. And if he's all you got today, he's all you need today. It says that these people living in poverty, their abundance of joy overflowed with a wealth of generosity. Again, let's be clear. These are not wealthy people here. In fact, the Bible says that they're walking through trials and they're walking through intense poverty. In fact, honestly, this passage would make more sense from a logical perspective if it were reversed. The Corinthian church, no doubt, would have been at a better place, probably personally and church-wise, financially, than these who were living in real poverty. And so it would have made sense if he was writing to Macedonia about the Corinthian Christians, because they would have been better off and they would have had a better opportunity to be generous. And so, but that's not the way the Bible's written. It's opposite. He writes to people who have nothing, and it says that these people are an example to those who do have something because they gave what they could. Keep on reading the passage. Look at verse 3. It says, for they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints, and this, not as we expected, but this is the key phrase in the entire message right here. But they gave themselves first to the Lord. Amen. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Now stop there for a moment. Let me bring some context here. When the Bible says that they were giving towards the relief of the saints, what is this speaking about? Evidently, there were poor Christians living in Jerusalem at the time, and somebody had the idea, hey, why don't we take up a collection for these poor brothers and sisters who we know, we love, and yet they're living in Jerusalem apart from us. And so, hey, Macedonian churches, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, a Corinthian church in Corinth, we're gonna take a special offering and we're gonna give it to these people here in Jerusalem. That's what it means, the relief of the saints. And Paul points the Corinthian church to the Macedonian church is saying, listen, these people are an example of what you need to be doing. What is the Macedonian example? Let me roll through it. Okay, there's four different things that are mentioned in this passage. Great things to write down if you're taking notes today. Number one, they gave according to their means. By the way, when the Bible is instructing them here in Corinth how to give, it is also at the same time instructing us 2,000 years later on how we are also to give. They gave according to their means. In other words, this was not a request for them to give something they could not give. If they could give $10, the request is not for them to give $10,000. The request was, hey, give what you can, give what you have available, and the Bible said that they did. They gave according to their means. Secondly, they gave beyond their means. In other words, they gave sacrificially. I wanna ask you a question today that's a real heart question. When's the last time that your generosity actually hurt? Like, when's the last time that you gave so sacrificially that it actually affected your life? Now, for many in the room today, as you walk in with your tithe check, it is a massive sacrifice, and you're trusting God in the midst of it right now. As you drop that in the basket today, you're like, man, Lord, I don't know that I can do this, but I'm trusting you to help me here. For some of you, that's where you're at. For others of you, you give your tithe every week. Man, it doesn't change your lifestyle one bit. You don't even feel it. In fact, you forgot you automated it 2 years ago, right? And it's that kind of situation in your life. When's the last time you actually gave sacrificially? Here's the third thing. It says that they gave of their own accord. They gave of their own accord. They didn't have to be convinced. Their arm didn't have to be twisted. Here's what the Bible says. It says that they were begging us earnestly for the privilege of taking part. Evidently, the Bible alludes to maybe that Paul and Titus were hesitant in asking them for money. And why would they be hesitant? Because they're living in poverty, right? It'd be like driving up and the person standing on the side of the road asking for money. And you're like, hey, we're taking this offering next week at church. Do you have anything to give? You wouldn't do that, right? And Paul and Titus maybe evidently were just a little gun shy here. And it says that the people were begging Paul, can we please be a part of this? We wanna help out. We wanna give some. Can you help us here? One author said it this way. They pleaded for the privilege of sharing. They pleaded for the privilege of sharing. Now, throughout this series, I think we've seen some normal people. Okay, sometimes something we get kind of mixed up in the Bible is that these are super Christians and I could never achieve that. I could never do what they do. Like I just can't measure up to that. They're very normal people throughout this. I will say, I think week six of the series, I think there's something special about these people. Like it's a next level relationship with the Lord when you are in poverty and yet you are saying, please, please, please let us contribute. Like that's a depth of the relationship with Christ that you don't see too much in the New Testament right there, specifically as it relates to their money. MacArthur stood up like this. He says, giving is proportionate, it is sacrificial, and it is voluntary. That's exactly what we see right here in this chapter. You know, we're talking about Legacy Sunday, and we're preparing to give a one-time over your tithe gift to the mission of the Decade of Love. And I just wanna be very clear, and I think the passage leads me to say this today. If you don't want to give next week, don't give. Like, that's the Bible's pattern on giving. That's what it is. You say, well, how much money are we trying to raise? We've said it very clear. We, There's not a monetary goal. We're just encouraging everybody. Participation goal. Hey, if you call Cross Church Home, why don't you give something? We sat down with our kids yesterday, and Meredith and I told our kids, hey, Mom and I have prayed about it. We know what we're giving next Sunday, but we want to encourage y'all to pray about what you need to give. One of my kids raised their hand and said, what if you don't have any money? I said, you can work for something this week, and we'll help you in that whole thing, okay? This is a voluntary thing. And so if you don't want to do it, you don't need to do it. This is to be your own decision, not pressuring you into anything. That's the Corinthian model right there, okay? It says finally, and this is the most important thing. I pointed that out as we read the passage. It says that they gave of themselves. In fact, the full phrase is they gave of themselves first to the Lord. He said, well, Nick, how in the world do these people living in poverty and all kinds of trouble willingly give to an offering? You know why? Because they had first given themselves to the Lord. That's how. Generosity is a byproduct of giving yourself to the Lord. In fact, I could walk through, honestly, all 5 weeks of these things that we've talked about before today, and they're all a byproduct of giving yourself to the Lord. Being filled with the Spirit, building people, submitting your life under God's word, serving God behind the scenes, focusing your life on the Great Commission. They all are byproducts, including today with generosity, of giving yourself to the Lord. So if generosity is not a part of your life, like it's not an active part of your life, I would ask yourself this question today. Again, you asked for it blunt, right? You wanted the straight up? I would ask yourself, am I giving myself to the Lord on a daily basis? If being Spirit-filled or submitting under the authority of God's word, if those things are not a part of your life, am I really giving myself to the Lord on a daily basis? Some of you, this needs to be your story for the very first time. Not that you would give for the very first time, but some of you have never met Jesus Christ personally. And we often describe that in Christian terms of you are giving your life to Christ. It's the moment that you understand for the first time that the ultimate giver is God himself. For God so loved the world that what did he do? He gave his only son, Jesus Christ, who came and what did he do? He gave his life on a cross and was resurrected from the dead so that if you would be sitting in a place like this and somebody would share with you that you can be freed from your sin. You can be forgiven of your sin. That you're no longer under judgment against a holy God, but you can become a part of God's family through Christ. By what? By giving yourself to Jesus. I want to encourage you, some of you, that you need to take that step even today. But within this passage, he's not speaking to people who don't know Christ. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to the people that do know Christ. And what is he saying about their life? They gave themselves to the Lord first. So think about sanctification in this passage more than salvation in this passage. Are you giving yourself on a daily basis to the Lord Jesus? I'm not talking about being saved over and over again. That's not what we believe. But am I submitting my life under Christ every single day? Because when I do that, it changes everything else that flows out of my life, including this thing that we're talking about called generosity. By the way, there are some who give of their wallet, but not of their life. In other words, people all the time will walk into church and they ain't living for Christ, but they're gonna drop the tithe check in. That's not what the Bible is going after here. What the Bible is actually saying is the exact opposite here. He's speaking about people who actually are following Jesus with their life. We'll see this here in a second. They're doing a lot of the things right, and yet they're just missing it on this one central element of their faith known as generosity. Now, John Wesley, the famous evangelist, once said it this way. He said, the last part of a man to be converted is his wallet. It's kind of a funny statement, is it not? The last part of a man to be converted, of a woman to be converted, is their wallet. Why is that? Because this is hard. It's hard to give money. It's hard to be open-handed and generous instead of greedy. And I have no doubt there are many, many people in this room and many people across our Cross Church family that, man, you are living for Christ. You are walking with Jesus personally, you're praying, you're reading the Bible every day, you're serving God in this church in some way, you're doing this, you're doing that, but for whatever reason, what we're talking about right now has never made it into your life. And I don't know what that is. You say, well, Nick, why do people not live generously? Why do people not give? I mean, there's 1,000 reasons, I'm sure. Let me just mention a few. See if you identify with any of these things and see if maybe the Word of God can cut through some of this in your own life. Number one, I think people just say, you know, Nick, I've never been taught or I wasn't raised in that kind of home. I wasn't raised in a Christian family or my parents were Christians, but they didn't really practice this. By the way, kids are bold. Anybody else realize that with your own kids? If you have to gloss over areas of your life or only teach your kids certain passages of the Bible because you're not living out other passages of the Bible, that's a sign that something's off, okay? This could be generosity. Man, we just kind of avoid that conversation in the family. It could be anger. We kind of just avoid those passages of the Bible because we just yell a lot in the family, or it could be a myriad of other things, okay? But maybe you just say, Nick, this is all new to me, man. You talk about tithing, and when I think about giving 10% of what I make, I cannot fathom that. That is a world away from where I've been at. You didn't know, but now you do. And I would just ask you, what kind of home do you want to raise your own children in, your own grandchildren in? That's really where it comes to bat with this. Let me give you a second thing. I think sometimes people are just strapped in debt and other costs. In other words, when we talk about giving or we talk about an offering like next Sunday, I think there are many, many people in our church who say, Nick, man, I so desperately want to give. Man, I just can't. I would like to, but we don't have any money left over at the end of the month, okay? This is the portion where I said I was going to come back to. You remember what you asked for at the beginning? Straight up. Not tiptoe, right? Everybody's still in that? It's gotten a little quiet in here now. And we're about halfway through, and you know, I'm going to give it to you straight up here, okay? If you don't have money to give to God, I would ask you, are you living beyond your means? So I'm going to play that out. Are you living in your tithe? Driving your tithe? Wearing your tithe? Or something like that? Just so you know, I don't believe there's any pastoral exemption in the New Testament on generosity. I mean, it'd be kind of nice if there were. But I don't believe that I'm exempt from what I'm saying to you today. If anything, I feel like I have to and need to lead the way in this for our church, not back away from this. Here's a third thing. What about security issues? I'm not speaking about like you're worried about your account getting hacked online if you give to the church. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about you find your security in money. You do not feel good unless there's a certain number in the bank account. Or you're honestly, maybe you're even asking the question right now as I preach of, Nick, if I do what you're saying to do, I don't know if there's going to be left enough in the account to do what I know I have to do. And, you know, that's a real question. And usually when people are out of whack in this area of their life, you have to get drastic before you can go normal. It takes a radical reorienting before you're able just to live and So take that for what it's worth. Here's a fourth one. This is a big one in our culture today. What about just distrust of organizations and institutions? Just a distrust, okay? I get it. It's kind of the culture today to not trust the government. Organizations, institutions, churches. And I'll be honest, especially big churches. And I get it. I really do. If you're newer to our church, this is part of the way that we structure our churches so that you feel good about this and so that we're held accountable. We have a pastor's council of laymen and staff. I see two of our pastor's council are in this room right here today. And they advise me on many things and help lead the church in many ways, but one of the ways that they serve the church is they're the financial accountability of the church. This is why we also do an annual independent audit from somebody outside who looks inside. We just did that. Again, it came back clean. We do all that we can I see three, actually. Three of our pastors counsel are in this service, not two. And yeah, go Pinnacle, three, okay? And we do all that we can to let you know that your gifts are being stewarded well. But this statement I'm about to make may help you because it helps me. Okay, this is how I view my own generosity. I'm not giving to a church. I'm giving to God through my church. So, I mean, if you look at Meredith and I, our bank account, we're very committed to Cross Church financially in our generosity. But in some ways, I'm not committed at all. I'm committed to God. Amen. Like, God's the giver to me. And so I believe that God's called me to be faithful and to give back to him. And so what's the vehicle that God has given us according to the Bible? I give back to God through my local church. This is the center of God's activity, New Testament-wise. And so this is the priority of our giving. Did Meredith and I give to some stuff outside? Yeah. But man, we've taken care of home first. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the center of our giving. Let's wrap up. Let's go to the last part of the passage, verse 6. He says, accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. I told you, Paul and Titus, for whatever reason, there was a hesitancy towards taking up this offering with the Corinthian church. He said, so he should complete this act, complete among you this act of grace. What is the act of grace? Generosity. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. So there's the command. Excel in this act of grace also. What is the act of grace? Giving. Generosity. Look at what Paul's doing to that church. It'd be like Paul coming into our church today. That'd be pretty cool to have Paul preach, right? I think Paul was bald as well, just a hunch. And it'd be like Paul walking in and saying this, man, your faith, Cross Church, it's up here, man. Your speech, golly, man, you are godly people with your mouths. Way to go. Your knowledge of the scriptures, that's what I'm talking about. But you're missing out on one thing, generosity. And he's encouraging this church to excel in this as well. You're doing all these other things right. Make sure you get this right as well. That's what he's saying. If you were to sit down with me and you were to specifically speak about generosity, and if you were to schedule a meeting with me, we're in my office or we go to lunch somewhere, and you say, Nick, just give me straight up. If you were to ask me, how can I excel in generosity? This is what I would teach you, okay? This is not exhaustive on handling money. But this is how I would encourage you to excel in this act of grace also that we just talked about, okay? Number one, prioritize the tithe. Prioritize the tithe. I referenced it earlier, but much of the time the reason someone doesn't tithe is because they get to the end of the month and they don't have anything left. Let me give you the biblical principle of first fruits, okay? And I'll make it practical. The tithe check is not the last check that Meredith and I write. It's the first check we write. Does that make sense? I am returning to God what is rightfully his. I read this recently. I can't even remember where I read it. But the author said this, I cannot give to God what is already his. I simply can return it. The tithe is returning to God what is already his. So Meredith and I, we return to God what is rightfully his by giving back to our church. That's what it is. And it's kind of a weird thing. You know, as a pastor, I'm paid by the church. And so it's kind of a weird pinging sensation in our bank account, in the church's bank account, where I get paid by the church and we have it auto-drafted out of our account. So it goes directly back to the church. Ping, ping, ping. Like, it's just kind of an odd thing. And yet, if we're going to automate and prioritize other things as silly as a gas bill or an electric bill, we're gonna automate what's most important to us. And our generosity is the most important thing that we do with our money. We tithe directly to the ministry budget of the church here because that's the lifeblood that funds almost all of our ministries. And some of you are looking at me like I got three eyes on my head. You're like, Nick, I cannot imagine doing what you're saying to do. Give 10% of what I make to God through the church. And I just want you to listen to me, okay? And I believe this and will believe this till the day that I die. It is safer for you to live on 90% with the Lord than 100% amen. On your own. Amen. And you hear the amens today, church. So if you're outside of this, looking in, let the church testify to God's blessing in their life. Amen. And they and you see that, you hear that in their response, okay? Some of you say, well, I don't have money to tithe. When I can make more money, that's when I'll tithe. A famous billionaire, John D. Rockefeller in New York City, he said, I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week. Again, yeah, woo to that. And it's not about an amount. It's about faithfully giving according to your means, whatever that is. Secondly, not only prioritize the tithe, but plan for generosity. And we'll be done with this, okay? The New Testament, you may have noticed, it speaks way more about generosity than it does the tithe. In fact, to my knowledge, the tithe is only mentioned one time in the entirety of the New Testament. And it's Jesus who actually speaks about the tithe. He's referencing the Pharisees, and he affirms it. He's like, listen, you should have done this, but also should have not neglected the weightier matters of the law, like mercy and justice and all these different things. So he affirms it, but really the rest of the New Testament is all about generosity. Some of you are achievers, you are you're a rule follower, and you're like, okay, Nick, so 10% is the tithe, so what's the generosity percentage? You tell me, we will get there. If you were to ask me, what percentage is generosity? I don't know. Could it be that this is why the New Testament says each person should decide in his own heart what he is to give? Generosity knows no percentage. You don't know, like, just, that's why also it's just a relationship with Christ. Lord, are you leading us in this fashion? How do you want us to prioritize this right now? Meredith and I operate like this. Again, I'm not exempted from anything I'm saying. I'm trying to set the example in what I'm saying. So I'll give you a little bit more info than I may be comfortable with just for that sake. Meredith and I have always viewed, we've been married 17 years, we have viewed the tithe, 10% of what we make, as the floor of our giving. We just kind of view it as, okay, that's holy ground. I don't want any part of that. Of Lord, that's yours. We're just returning that to you. And we live generously above that to our own church. And in fact, there's been many years of our marriage where we have elevated our percentage to the church. We left the tithe of 10% a long time ago. And here's what I've found. We are very pleased clients with the Lord. We have seen him come through in a million ways. As we've lived this faith journey of just sacrificially giving to the Lord. Amen. Just time and time and time and time and time again, he came through. We even came to a little decision on our Legacy Sunday. We were debating two numbers, and we're like, oh, like that one would be easier. I mean, look at what God's done for us. So we went the other one. Plan for generosity. This means live within your means. Live, if you can, with some margin. So you can help the homeless person on the side of the streets. You can tell a buddy at lunch who's walking through a difficult time, man, I got you today. That burger fries is on me, okay? So you can look at things like a Legacy Sunday and say, man, we're all in to follow the Lord. I've got my envelope right here, okay? Meredith and I have already determined what we're gonna give. And I'm gonna encourage you to join us in that process next Sunday. We're gonna have a ton of fun next Sunday. I'll be right back here at this service at Pinnacle Hills. It's going to be a lot of fun, okay? Let me wrap up in a unique way, okay? I want to speak to those of you who you don't give anything to the church, okay? Or if you do, it's sporadic, no plan to it, no intentionality to it. It's just kind of all over the map, okay? I want you to know that I'm going to say something that a pastor should not say. Those are always the best statements, right? But our pastors' council members would affirm this. We don't need your giving. Again, I'm speaking to those of you who don't give a thing. Maybe you're skeptical of like, wow, they're just doing this for money today. We don't need your money. In 152 years, we have never been more financially healthy than right now. Amen. And praise God for all of you who faithfully give. You're the reason why, and God's blessing has been bestowed upon us. So we don't need your giving. If you're skeptical, like, this is just all for money, we're not in a bad spot financially as a church. We're not. I don't give this message out of like, man, if you guys don't give, this whole thing's gonna crater and we're gonna have three campuses that just go down the hill. It's not that at all. I come to you with great news from a faithful people. We're doing great. So we don't need your giving. You need your giving.
Amen.
You say, that's the most pastor statement I have ever heard. Find some kind of Jedi mind tricks on us right here, all right? We don't need your giving. You need to give. You need to give. You see, the question is really, what could we do as a church if everybody was doing what they were supposed to do in this respect? And beyond that, what would your own life be like if you were trusting God in this area of your life? I love you enough to have a very uncomfortable Sunday. I pray for you every single day, and I was not really looking forward to this message. But I love you enough to say, listen, it's time to get this area of your life straight if you're not living according to God's word. Because listen, you're the one missing out.
Amen.
God told us, remember, God told us he's gonna build the church. But you can, man, be like the Corinthian church, and man, you can trust God in your parenting, you can trust God in this area of your life, that area of your life, serving God, praying, fasting, reading the word, and be just like these people. I want to invite you into generosity. Invite you into the blessed life of seeing God move in a way that maybe you've never seen him move before in your life. As we wrap up today, I want to back away from generosity for a second. So let's just put generosity on the shelf. That's really something you got to submit to on a daily basis, more than just this big emotional moment in a church service. It takes planning and prioritization for you to do this right. So you go do that on your own, okay? I want to speak to the whole of the church as we wrap up this series. And here's what I want to encourage you to do as we wrap up. Will you just give yourself to the Lord again afresh today? Will you just give yourself again afresh to the Lord just to say, Lord Jesus, I want to build your church. I want to submit my life under you again today. Not to be saved again. Again, we don't believe that. But just as a fresh commitment to Christ, as we wrap up this series, I wonder how many of you want to come down and just put your knees on this altar and just say, Lord, I'm just telling you again, I'm surrendered. I'm just telling you again, I'm giving you my life. Would you use me? Use my family. How many parents or grandparents need to grab your kids and take them to the altar and say, listen, as a family, we're committed to giving our lives to the Lord afresh today. Some of you are in this room today and you've never trusted Christ for the very first time. This message is not about you giving money. It's not about generosity. All it is, it's about not you giving something to God, but you responding to what God has already given to you in Christ. And if that's you and you say, Nick, I know that I need Christ. Like, that's my step. In just a moment, our staff is gonna line up across this front. All you gotta do is grab one of these men or women by the hand. All you gotta say is this, I need to give my life to Christ. And we'll take it from there, okay? However God's calling you to respond, would you respond? Let's bow our heads together. Our staff's gonna make their way out to the front of each aisle. Our band's gonna come out. We're gonna sing one final song. We're not gonna be long. But I'm going to encourage you, will you give your life to the Lord afresh today? Will you just submit freshly to Christ? Lord, I'm here. Would you use me for the building of something bigger than myself? Lord, we trust you to do some spiritual work that really only you can do. And Father, I ask that you would you'd move in our hearts. Pray that we would freshly surrender our lives to you and every area that we've talked about the last 6 weeks. For those who need to be saved today, Lord Jesus, would you allow them? Would you draw them to yourself? It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.